Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see you all here, to see these beautiful faces and smiles. And we should smile every single day because Jesus is alive. It is Resurrection Sunday. We've got every reason to rejoice. We've got every reason to live because Jesus is alive, and He's the reason we celebrate today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20, and I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Today I'm preaching, Because He Lives, and that was one of our songs, Because He Lives. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. And in Paul's writings, inspired by God, we read, Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. And we believe that Jesus is alive. Jesus is not dead. And Father, it is by Your power on that wonderful resurrection day that the stone was rolled back and Jesus came forth in all of His might and all of His glory. And we are so, so grateful, Father, for that, that You provided the sacrificial lamb to shed His blood for our sins and bring us into fellowship with You. And now, Father, as I preach this word today, God, speak to our hearts. Don't let these people hear things from my mouth, but let them hear from Your Holy Spirit what You are saying, dear God. And let every word that comes through me be from Your Holy Spirit only, Lord. And Father, we give You the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, before I get into what the Scripture's about, I'm not going to preach the traditional Easter message that a preacher would normally preach on Easter Sunday. But what I want us to look at is what has already taken place. God saw a need, and it was only His Son that could be the ultimate and perfect sacrifice. The one who was immortal in heaven, the Son of God, became flesh. He took on mortality. He took on the form of a man. Now know this. The only man that ever walked in flesh that knew no sin was Jesus. And that we have to know and understand that. For all of this to come into what we believe. So Jesus has taken on mortality because in order for Him to die for our sins, in order for Him to bleed on the cross and to give up the spirit, immortality had to become mortal. The one who should not and did not have to die did it because of his love for you and I. And on a Friday, he was taken to trial and he was accused of falsely. And while he was accused, said nothing. He remained silent. And all the while, he was pouring out his love in a way that words couldn't even express. His love was being poured out to those who beat him and falsely accused him and spat upon him and mocked him and made fun of him and cursed him. And then as they walked him up to Calvary's hillside and they laid him on the cross and drove the nails through each of his wrists and through both of his feet, and they put a crown of thorns upon his head, and they put a plaque up above him that said, King of the Jews. And still yet, they made fun of him. And then on that hour, when Jesus raised his eyes toward heaven, and he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, and Jesus breathed his last, and people thought it was over. People thought he was done, and there was such rejoicing. And I guarantee you, even in hell, I'm sure that the demons were probably rejoicing because they thought they had done away with Jesus. But Jesus had always said that the temple would be destroyed, but in 3 days it would be rebuilt. He wasn't talking about a physical building. Jesus was talking about his body. He was talking about his death, his burial, and the resurrection. And on the third day, the power of God rolled back the stone and Jesus stepped forth. The one who had gone from immortality to mortality was raised again immortal. And he remains immortal today. And you and I have got to get that in our heart to understand why he did exactly what he did. He did it because of his love for you and I. Now, Paul was writing to the Corinthians because a lot of these Corinthian people, they didn't believe that Jesus was alive. They believed that he had died and that he was still dead. And in today's society, so many people are like the Corinthians. There are people today who don't even believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. But you and I, as his children, we know he has risen because he is alive inside of us. The moment that we came to him as a sinner and we received him as our Savior and Lord, he came in to our hearts and into our life to live and dwell with us and to have fellowship. And I tell you what, that's the greatest invitation I've ever received when Jesus stood knocking on my heart's door saying, open up and let me come in. And I tell you what, I was made alive in Christ Jesus because of his resurrection. I was dead in my sins and dead in my trespasses. My life was in a dark grave and I was headed for doom and destruction. I was headed for judgment for an eternity in hell. And the moment that I received Christ Jesus, he made all things brand new. He took away death from my life and he gave me his love. And he gave me a brand new heart, and he resurrected me from the pits of death. And because of his resurrection, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the moment that I take my last breath on the face of this earth, I will immediately be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And you and I have to know and understand this. Jesus is not in the grave. So Children of God, when you die, you do not remain in your body. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The moment you take your last breath as a child of God, you will be transported to be with Him for all of eternity. When I think about 2 years ago, in May 17th, my mother passed away. And I was having this conversation with David a little while ago. My mother looked like death. She was so sick. And the moment that she died that morning, when I walked into the room and saw her body lying there, I could do nothing but rejoice. Because the angels came and got her. And I was telling David, when I looked at her body, she didn't look like death anymore. She looked like an angel laying there because she's alive in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because He lived. She lives today in heaven. And what a glorious, glorious day this is. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit's just been on me this morning. Jesus is risen. And as we celebrate this resurrection, there's a couple things that makes us know that Jesus is alive. The resurrection of Jesus, it's the heart of the gospel. In chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, I won't read it, but I want to highlight something here. The church was preaching in the first century, just even a few years after the resurrection itself, that was the good news. That was the hope. That's what the church has been preaching. And all of these years, up until today, it's still being preached. And I tell you what, I don't know how anybody could sit through a sermon about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus and not have their life and heart touched in some way. I tell you what, a couple friends of mine that are involved in me being saved, God used them. They weren't the ones that saved me, but God used them. One of my friends, he's pastor. His name's Matthew Brown. He won't mind me saying his name. His name's Matthew Brown. He is the pastor of First Christian Church in Carterville, Illinois. You can look him up on Facebook. He's on there. But back when we were all in our late teens, almost early adult life, I was getting ready to leave a church youth group meeting that night. I was going to go hang out with my friends. I was a sinner. I'd been to church. I knew who Jesus was, but He wasn't my Savior, and I'd been living a life that wasn't very good. And I got in my car, and Matt and his twin brother, James, I always liked that too, James Brown. I used to kid him. Yeah, I'd go, hey, you know, to James all the time. But anyway, they followed me outside. I got in my car and I started my car, and Matt sits on the ground and puts his legs under the front wheel of my car on the parking lot of the church. How many of you in your, what we would say, right mind would do that? How many of you would sit with your legs under the wheel of somebody's car that you knew was lost and was going to leave and go somewhere that wasn't good and probably do things that wasn't even any better? How many of us would do that? Matthew did. For me. Why? It wasn't because of him. It's because of the love of Jesus. He was a man, a young man, who was preaching the good news of Christ, and he preached to me in action, but not words. And when he sat there, I said, "What are you doing? Get out. I need to go. I need to leave. You don't understand. I don't want to be here." And he said, "Oh, you can go. You put your car in reverse and go." But I love you so much. I would die for you. I would. He said, "That's the kind of sacrifice I'm making." I think he knew I wouldn't back up over him, but what I'm saying, it was his sacrifice of love, because he knew I was lost. But we were discussing that the other day on Facebook Messenger to each other, me and James were. And James quickly reached in and shut my car off, and he took my keys, wouldn't let me have them. And I just broke down and cried, because I knew I was at a place. And from that moment on, my life's been different. Have I messed up? Oh yeah, I mess up every day. I'm not perfect. I fail the Lord. But God gave a calling on my life to preach the Word, to preach the good news. And I don't ever plan on retiring from it. It's a call of ministry upon my life, and it doesn't just relate to pastors. It also relates to all of us. Every one of us here are to preach the good news, because there are people dying and going to hell day after day. And if we don't make some kind of sacrificial love, if we don't make some kind of move to go after them, and they die and they go to hell, then their blood would be on our hands if we knew we were supposed to say something. A friend of mine was supposed to have witnessed to somebody, to a co-worker, and she went on vacation. He never witnessed to her, and she died in a jet ski accident. He doesn't know if she ever even got saved or not, because she wasn't a Christian. And he said, "Her blood was on my hands because I should have said something." Well, if the early church, after the resurrection, was preaching the good news, nowhere along the lines does it say we should quit or cease doing that. We should never say, "Jesus died and rose again. We don't have to do another thing." Now, yes, we do. Jesus gave us a direct order, a commandment, to go into the world and preach the gospel to every person, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet I hear a lot of Christian people today who are saying, "Well, I'm praying, wanting to know what God's will is for my life." Well, I just told you what His will is. He doesn't want you worrying about the stock market. He doesn't want you worrying about what you're going to eat today. He doesn't want you worrying about what's going to go on at work or school or wherever tomorrow. He wants us to go out and share the good news with every person that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and He loves them and He wants to save them. I thank God for men like Billy Graham, who took a sacrifice, who took the sacrifice, and who preached the message day in and day out wherever he went. And he was never afraid. And I'll tell you one thing. I've stood in many pulpits, and I will never, ever be afraid to say what the Lord puts on my heart. I will never hold back. Yes, there were times I did, because I let the enemy speak lies to me. But you know what? That's all been forgiven. That's all in the past. But I will never withhold a message. Whether I preach a funeral or whether I preach in a church, I will never withhold a message that you should be saved. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is too late. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives life to us and gives us our faith. If it hadn't been for the resurrection, you and I would have no hope. If there hadn't been a crucifixion, there would be no hope. Every single one of us would be condemned to hell if Jesus had never died. That's why we got to get serious. And I want to say something, and it may make some folks aggravated, but I can't help it. You know what's wrong with a lot of our churches today? A lot of our churches have gotten so weak. Everybody, we want to come to church, and we want to have church and sing the songs, and we want to go home, but yet we're so weak because we're not living for the Lord like we should. I tell you what, I'm stepping on my own toes because I need to witness a lot more than what I do right now. I need to be the one who leads. I need to be the one to be the example. And others need to be an example too. We would not be a weak church if we would start living the truth. If we would rise up every day and face our fears and put Christ first above everything else, I guarantee you we'd have a more victorious life. A lot of people in churches today, you know what kind of messages they want to hear? They want to hear the message that will tickle their ears and make them feel good. They don't want to be, you know, stepped on their toes. They don't want to feel like that they've been run over by a steamroller or anything like that. People want to be tickled on the ears and be sent home with a feel-good feeling. And that ain't going to get you to heaven. That ain't going to challenge you to live for the Lord. That's not going to make you to want to get past where you were yesterday. Jesus never stopped at one place in His life. Jesus always went another step forward. And Jesus is wanting every single one of us to take another step forward. He's wanting us to grow in Him. And the only way we grow in Him is by reading that Word daily, and I mean living it, abiding by it, means you put off the old man. You quit speaking the ways of the flesh. You quit living the ways of the world. You quit talking like your buddies talk at work or who you hang out with. I tell you this, if you're hanging out with people that cause you to talk different from what the Bible's saying, then you better quit hanging around them. I talked to a guy years ago that said, "You don't know how tough it was being a Christian, being in the coal mines. I worked around guys who told dirty jokes and cussed and all this kind of stuff, and I found myself right back in there." I said, "Then were you trusting the Lord to make you a witness before those men? Oh, well, I was too weak." Was Jesus alive inside of you? Is His faith in you? If His faith is alive inside of us, if we have faith in Him and His power is at work in our life, it doesn't matter who we work around with. If we are the body of Christ, then the world better know it, and they'll know it by the words we speak and by our actions. So, I heard some people say, "Well, God's put me in this bad place, and I don't belong here. I wish He'd move me over here to this job. It's much better." Well, you know what? God puts you in places because He knows that you've got it in you, but He wants you to trust Him. God wants us to all live by faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without the faith, you can't please Him. Without faith, you've got no life in Him. Without His Spirit alive inside of you, you'll not grow. You know, Jesus spoke to a fig tree and He cursed it. And the next day when they came back, it was all withered up. And do you know why Jesus spoke to the fig tree? Does anybody know what about it? It's because it was only producing leaves. there were no figs on it. There was no fruit. And Jesus cursed it. And I want to say this, and I'm not saying this in a condemning or a judgmental way, but there are a lot of Christians today who are like that fig tree. They got some leaves, but they ain't got no fruit. And you know what the Lord's going to do? The Lord is going to come along one day, and anything that's not producing fruit, He'll cut it off and it'll be cast into a lake of fire. Which means if you're not living your life for Christ and you're living with the rest of the world and you're still sinning and you're not showing any evidence, then I can honestly say this, that those people won't make it to heaven. You can go read in the New Testament who will make it to heaven. And it's those who have trusted in Christ and those who have believed on Him and received Him as Savior and Lord. And it's those who follow His commandments and abide and live by the fruits of the Spirit. If we're living in the ways of the flesh and the ways of the world, we won't go to heaven. I'm telling you that. And you better know it. It's the truth. If Jesus is really alive inside of you, your life will show it. And I want to say this morning, not in a condemning or judgmental way, but I'm saying this because I think we all need to hear it. If we die right now, what's the Lord going to say to us? The Lord knows your heart. You're not hiding nothing from Him. Oh, we think we are. We think that we can hide the bad stuff from God, but He knows you. Oh, does He know you? Now, we may hide stuff from those that are around us, our friends and family. Well, we can conceal things and hide them. But you know what happens when we do things in darkness? Eventually, that's right, Corrine, it'll come out in the light. And you know what happens when you turn on the light? It dispels darkness. If we are alive in Christ, if His love and His power are inside of us, then that light should be on and there should never be any darkness in us. See, the Bible says there is no darkness in God. He is light. In Him there is no darkness. God will never fail. God will never turn His back on you. I was listening to a sermon on the way over here this morning out of a neat little radio station in Madisonville, Kentucky. And the preacher said that God will never punish His children. See, punishment is for those who don't know Christ. They'll be cast into the lake of fire after the final judgment. But He did say that God will chastise His people, His sons and daughters. If we sin, He will chastise us. And you know how God will chastise us? Because if we are committing sin and we continue to commit sin, then the things that we're doing in that sin will have negative repercussions upon our life. It will affect us in a bad way. And what I mean by that, I've seen people who walk with the Lord and they allowed sin to take over their life. And when the sin got a hold of their life, it drove them away from God. It drove them away from church. And it brought them into a place of darkness. And they found no hope whatsoever. See, when we're in Jesus, we have all we'll ever need. And I tell you what we need in our pulpits today, what we need in our churches today, is we need people who will preach the gospel message, Who will preach and never get tired of the crucifixion, of the resurrection? Because it's that very thing right there that causes us to live. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that He holds my future, and life is worth the living because He lives. Tell you what, I've really been doing a lot of searching lately, soul searching. I've told the Lord, I don't want to be the same anymore. I don't want to feel like I'm just one place. Lord, I want You to really move in my life. I want You to do things with me that I never thought I could do, or places I would even go, places I would maybe never preach. Lord, if that's where You want me to go, if You want me to do things like that, You make it happen. All out, I'm living for You. I don't care what people say about me, what people think. I will live this word. I will preach this word. I will read this word, and I will testify of its power. The only time that I'll shut up is the moment that I lay down in death and give up my spirit and enter the joy of the Lord, or until Jesus comes back and takes me out of here. This is a message today that I hope wakes every one of us up, because Jesus is coming back soon. He is on the way. I don't know the day or the hour. The angels don't know. Jesus doesn't know. Only God the Father knows. And also, as we were talking this morning before church, a few of us, seems like so many younger age people are dying. Death is no respecter of persons. I used to think as a kid that you had to be in your 90s to die. Well, I found that's not true. But here's what I found out. You better get your house in order, because if it's not and you die without Jesus, it is too late. You made the decision where you'll spend your eternity. Jesus provided the way, but you made the decision. Or I would have made the decision. Thank God I made the decision to follow Christ. I like that old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And I don't care if the world doesn't go with me. If I was the only one, thank God I'm not the only one. But if I was the only one, I wouldn't be looking behind me to see who's following. I'd keep pressing on toward the calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'd be going toward that finish line. And then I can say when I get to heaven, I have run the race. And oh, it's been a good one. Has my life always been the best? There's been some bad days. There's been things I don't understand. But God's been the head of it all, and it's been well worth the journey.